Poorly read.
Okay, we are recording.
We are recording. We are the world.
Are we?
We are the... Is it we are the children?
I was going to say we are the children.
But I say we are the future as well.
Yeah, although when we're 30 now, we're neither.
Also, that song features Michael Jackson and we don't endorse him anymore. Except when it's like midnight at a party.
Then everyone just sort of forgives and forgets.
Yeah, it's like, by the way, you make me feel is so good. Yes, that's what Michael loved to hear.
Yeah.
Oh, God, somebody stop us.
Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Yay, welcome everyone.
Yeah, this is, I think this is episode 10.
I mean, it could be. Who's counting?
I think it's episode 10, and we start on chapter 10. Of Chamber of
Secrets.
Wow,
do you think we should make like a wish or something?
No.
Well, welcome to the pod, everyone. Though no time has passed for you, lots of time has passed for us. This is our first record since we launched.
Yes, it is.
That's quite special, isn't it? Should we have some cake?
Shall we? Have you got cake?
Mate, if I did, it wouldn't have made it all the way here. I'd have been like, oh, he sat on it. It's always flown over Bristol.
The launch has actually been great. It's been really well received. And I'm very grateful to everyone who's listened to it and said nice things about it.
Yes,
thank
if
you.
Any cunt spoils that by emailing in something shitty, I swear to God, I will find you and I'll kill you mercilessly.
You'll kill them mercilessly.
Yeah, because you can kill someone with mercy, I feel.
Suppose you can. Yeah. Like a cadaver. It's pretty...
Yeah, you're right, actually. I do agree with that.
I mean, Voldemort uses that spell mercilessly, I think.
Yeah, I do think that he should have like made a spell that sort of is a Vada Kedavra but inflicts pain at the same time.
Yeah.
That would have been very Voldemort-y,
something
I feel.
To combine Crucio and a Vada Kedavra.
I'm sure if you said Crucio Kedavra, it would do that. Maybe no one just thought to try it.
It would probably just do the Crucio spell, but then nothing else.
I mean, maybe, yeah.
Crucio Avada Kedavra, just second of pain and then death.
Oh, that's so unnecessary, isn't it?
Yeah.
What a bitch would do that, do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, just want to give you a little second of excruciating agony.
Yeah, salt in your wound. I want to start this episode off with a fact that I learned the other day that made me roll my eyes so fucking hard. I swear to God, I saw the back of my skull.
I've seen him do that.
Quirrell's first name is Quirinus.
What?
Right? Literally, I googled him for whatever reason and his little wiki page came up on the side and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I could not believe that. I was like, ugh.
Until you just said Quirrell's first name, it hadn't occurred to me that we don't know Quirrell's first
name.
Yeah,
exactly. I'd never thought to find out what that was, or I never like really considered that they didn't mention it in the book already.
What's Professor Sprout's first name?
Oh, it's something like Pomona Sprout, I think.
Huh.
Pomona or Paloma? I think it's Pomona. Because I did look at hers. I looked at someone else's whose name we didn't hear. And they, because I was like, does everyone have like an alliterative name? And literally the second search proved it. They don't.
No. Albus Dumbledore.
Ugh, yeah. But I was like, oh, Minerva McGonagall, Severus Snape, Quirinus Quirrell. I was like, I swear to God, if Professor Sprout's name is like Susanna Sprout, yeah. I'm actually going to shit a brick.
But then that would explain, you know, what all the Hogwarts founders have alliterative names. Like maybe it's just...
that is an entry requirement for a teacher.
Yeah. And some just sort of slip through the net.
So as they're doing like the pile of CVs. Oh, God, because they would arrange them in alphabetical, like alliterative order as well. What wankers. So yeah, that was crappy. And then it told you what all of their... boggarts were as well.
Huh.
And nearly everyone's boggart was fucking Voldemort. And I was like, that's a bit of a cop-out, I feel.
Cop-out in terms of creative writing, but probably accurate.
But I feel like, because your boggart can change over time, this far out, I feel like Voldemort wouldn't still be Minerva's. And unless you had like actually lost people to him in the first war... why would it still be your biggest fear? Do you know what I mean? It's a bit weird, isn't it?
I bloody do know what you mean, mate. I'm outraged.
Let's send some snail mail to J.K. Rowling expressing it.
Should we do that? Just after each episode, we'll pen a summary of our thoughts and criticisms and mail it to her.
And we put some like sugar in there so she thinks it's anthrax. And she's like, ah! And then when the police come, we're like, look, we were just sweet on J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, it's not anthrax. It's just the literary equivalent. All right, chapter 10 of the Chamber of Secrets, the Rogue Bludger. They get the letter of permission from Lockhart to get the book from the library.
Yeah, so yeah, because they're in his lesson and Lockhart has given up on teaching them anything. Yeah. He's the Cornish Pixies. That's it, fucking hell. Lockhart's boggart was a Cornish Pixie. And I was like, fuck off! Oh, God.
Probably anyway. After that, since that lesson, maybe.
No, he was like mildly perturbed, I would say. Not fucking your biggest fear is a Cornish Pixie.
Why does he bring them in on lesson one, then?
Oh, because he's a bastard in every sense of the word.
He actually
is. His parents weren't married.
In fact, the only sense of the word.
Isn't it weird how that was such a big deal once upon a time?
Yeah.
Alas.
Yeah, wax.
Are you a bastard?
No.
Yeah. I am.
Yeah, I know you are.
Tom doesn't care that you hurt my feelings.
No. I've learned to accept all of your impurities.
Oh, God. Right, just side note, we might cut this bit, but you know, in film 5, there's that bit where Neville tries to speak to Bellatrix Lestrange in the Department of Mysteries. He says something to her like, oh, blah, 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 you killed my parents or whatever, or you something. And then she goes, how dare you speak his name, you filthy whole blood! And I always want to use that as like an insult to someone. I might just sort of like store that one away and like slip it out.
You got to say it with that rising intensity that she does.
Oh, God. So they're all in Lockhart's lesson. And
wait,
he's
hang on a second. Sorry. Is Neville a half blood?
Oh, maybe Harry says it.
He says it. She says that to.
Who does she say it to?
No, shit. I don't actually know.
You filthy half-blood.
Because I can hear her saying that from the film.
Yeah, you're right. That, like, who did she shout. Say it to?
Email in.
Yeah, someone tell us if you can be bothered to watch that 30-second YouTube clip that must be out there.
Yeah, or just Google it.
Yeah, who does Neville say you filthy half-blood to?
Who does Bellatrix Lestrange say?
That's it. Fucking hell. Such a good start. Yeah. Anyway, right, so Lockhart is reading passages from his book and he gets Harry to reenact them, which I thought was kind of like, I would have loved to have been there watching that.
Oh, it would have been so awkward. I mean, I feel like Harry's not a performer.
No, not by any means.
No, he's just got to feel so uncomfortable. And he gets him to do, like, nice loud werewolf howl, Harry.
I mean, there's no way that didn't get sexy, right? Like, yes, Harry, I was speaking to a very buxom woman at this point in the book. I want you to press your chest together to make a little boob.
Yes, no, more buxom, Harry.
Now, I want you to stick your tongue out and slowly caress your finger. And just the rest of the class is just like,
Yeah, you've just forgotten that they're there.
Yeah, so they butter up Lockhart at the end of the lesson to get the permission slip for the book they need. And Hermione sort of like says to him, oh, like, I need this for a thing. I want to write about a thing. Those exact words.
Yeah.
What is she writing? She's right. She wants to write, and she says she needs help for the essay she's writing about him, right?
Yeah, she says, so I can better understand what you say in Gadding with Ghouls about something, something.
What does gadding mean?
I thought that when I heard it, and I don't know.
Huh. I mean, I'm not going to Google it.
No, let's not.
That in.
Yeah. we just make our listeners do all our Googling for us.
Yeah. So they go to the library to check out the book they need now because they got the permission slip. And Madame Pince is like proper skeptical about the authenticity of it.
Yeah.
They describe that they say she looks like an underfed vulture. I was like, that's a bit harsh to describe someone that way. And also, what the fuck does that look like? Not an underfed vulture, but a person who looks like an underfed vulture.
I mean, I can sort of picture it. Like, I'm just an old, thin, hook-nosed woman.
I mean,
wrinkly.
I guess so, yeah. Maybe I was taking it to very extreme, like, mutant sort of, like, levels.
Like, with the proper, like, neck arch hunchback.
Yeah, and, like, proper, like, sort of, like, that really saggy neck that has, like, folds.
Yeah.
That you could, like, hide things in. Yeah. Like, secrets. So the book they're getting out is most... Let's pronounce it the proper way.
Yeah.
Most potent potions.
Yeah.
Not mosty, potenty, potionsy.
No, which is how it's pronounced in the audiobook. I think that must just be to emphasize that it's spelt with the old timely ease.
Ugh, yeah, you're probably right.
Surely Stephen Fry knows.
I don't fucking know what this guy knows.
He knows mispronounces everything.
That's the thing though, right? He does, apart from how to be funny at award shows. So yeah, they get most potent potions. And when they're flicking through it, they see that it has really, like, nightmarish, like, things in it. There's this potion to turn someone, like, inside out.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is this book in a school? Like, that's pretty...
It is.
I wouldn't
want
that.
Why would you need to turn someone inside? Just kill him. Just give him a death potion.
But, I mean, maybe this is, like, if you want to be really sadistic.
Kill him and cut him up a bit.
I mean, why do that if you can just give him a potion?
Seems like a length to go to.
Because maybe the potion is like a slow release potion. They have it, they go and do their thing, and then it happens when they least expect it.
And when you say a slow release potion, I was imagining they're like gradually, slowly turning piece by piece inside out.
Oh, God. That'd be so fucking awful.
But I think it's funnier.
Wait, hold on. What did I just say? I went to say awful and horrible at the same time, and I said awful.
Full of orifices.
Oh God, but he was very holy.
It's funnier to think that they would take the potion unknowingly and then go about their business for a while and then suddenly 2 days later just go inside out.
That's what I imagine. I imagine it like that Simpsons episode where the noxious gas gets in with a killie draft, gets in through the window and they just go and turn inside out. I think it's a Treehouse of Horror.
It sounds like one, yeah. I don't remember that, but
I mean, it's a really famous episode, so
all right, anyway, let's try and get, like, past the first, like, two paragraphs.
Yeah, sorry, guys, if you're bored. Don't turn off, though. Yeah, so they get to the potion that they need, which is the Polyjuice potion.
Yeah.
Because if this is what they're going to use to try and get the truth out of my mouth, Malfoy. What's that backwards? Your flam.
Your flam.
Can we please start saying that? Yo, flam. but they find out that it takes a month to stew and Ron is not happy about this. But alas.
Yeah, well, yeah, and there's quite a phone. She's like, well, and she like gives him a scathing look when he starts whinging about how long it's going to take. And he's like, well, it's the best plan we've got. So full steam ahead, I say.
I love that. She's so no nonsense.
Yeah.
Side note as well, and I will mention this a few times throughout this book, really. But I'm loving Ron in this book. Ron keeps on having the most amazing little like one-liners.
He does have a lot of good ones, doesn't
he? Yeah, and they're all like the most perfect common sense. I'm like, I did not remember that you were like this. So I thought everyone in this book was a fucking idiot. But
he does definitely seem to have sort of come into himself, come out of his shell a little bit since the first one.
Yeah, for sure.
He's quite shy and sort of uncertain in the first one, whereas this one he seems to be a bit more comfortable in himself and coming out with these like zingers occasionally.
Yeah, I agree. The next thing that happens is that they have their Quidditch game.
Yeah, and Oliver Wood's intense pep talk at the beginning.
I don't remember that.
He's really, really stressing out. And he's like, because Slytherin have got all their fancy new brooms. And he's like, we're going to come down to you, Harry. You've got to get to that snitch or die trying, Harry.
Yeah, I remember hearing that and was like, wow. He'd like quoting 50 Cent like 20 years before the fact.
Yeah, even rhymes.
Yeah. That would so be fucking like Harry's like memoir.
Get snitch or die trying.
Yeah. Oh, mate. Fucking hell, right, that's going to be a t-shirt.
Yeah, when we inevitably end up doing a Harry Potter rap of some sort.
It's going to happen. Oh, God, I'm so excited. Okay, so they start the match, and almost straight away, there's this, as the chapter title references, a rogue bludger that keeps on trying to attack Harry. And Fred and George are sort of spending all their time trying to stop Harry from getting beaten to a pulp by this thing instead of actually beating the non-rogue bludger at the Slytherin players. So they have to call like a timeout.
Yeah, and I just sort of think Madame Hooch doesn't seem to notice that. Like, I feel like it was pretty obvious. Fred and George noticed straight away. And if they had just said, look, there's clearly something wrong with this bludger, surely that, what, how is that match not like voided?
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Madame Hooch too just smashed on like 90s Alka-Pops.
Fucking hell, yeah. That's the only way she can get through her life at Hogwarts, right?
Yeah.
She's like, well, I fucking spent, 10 years at wizard school so I can be this. I'm just a fucking broom teacher. I do one lesson for them in their first year and that's it. I'm unemployed for like another like 3 months till the next fucking game. She probably doesn't even live at the castle. She probably lives down at the Three Broomsticks.
Yeah, probably. They keep like just like a fridge full of hooch just in the behind the bar for her.
Here you go, just so you can keep your namesake.
Yeah. Maybe that's why her eyes are yellow.
Oh my god, yeah. Wow. Well, they say to Harry, no, because they say, look, we need to tell Hooch. And then he's like, no, because we'll have to forfeit the match then.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a bit like, why would you have to forfeit the match just because the bludger is rogue?
Yeah, because they would be the ones that bring it up and be like, we've got a problem with this. No,
yeah,
surely.
They would just be like, can they just reschedule?
Yeah, maybe. But I'm thinking more like if it was, I don't know, football and like some of the, like the goalposts kept falling down. And it's like, well, if you've got a problem with it, you're going to have to forfeit the game.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? Because then I would assume by that he meant that Slytherin would automatically have won that game then. Which is a bit bizarre, isn't it?
It is bizarre. But, you know, never mind. It's, you know.
I mean, it's game, what JK wants.
Exactly.
The JK game wants, JK gets.
Yeah. It must go on. The show must go on. And at some point during the match, Malfoy zips past Harry and goes, all right, Scarhead. Like, you can do better than that, Malfoy.
Yeah, I mean, he has done better than that.
Yeah, that's
terrible.
You
can't go from, like, just slinging out Mud's blood to saying Scarhead.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah, what would you say?
Dickhead's better.
I would just say, right, orphan.
Right, dead parents.
Oh, my God.
You're just flying past going, Harry. Parents are dead.
Harry, your mum called. She wants her life back. Oh. So, yeah, Harry, they go back to the game and they're just like, look, we need to just... Harry, you just need to get the snitch as quick as you can. And then he sees the snitch buzzing by Malfoy's ear.
Yeah.
I think when Malfoy says that, the Scarhead thing, and then he doesn't want to react too quick in case Malfoy also realises that the snitch is there. So I think he tries to, like... What does he do? He tries to, like, slowly sort of approach...
I think he just sort of hesitates for a second too long because at this point he's told Fred and George to go after the other bludger and leave him to deal with the rogue one. And he just hesitates for a second too long and the bludger comes up behind him and smashes him in the back of the elbow.
Oh, God, that must have hurt so much.
Yeah.
Which Harry's a fucking... He should be in the army.
He's a trooper, isn't he?
Yeah, if that was me, I would have been like, ah, and I would have like flung myself off of my broom.
Game's over.
That's me, a stretcher. Term is over. Everyone needs to go home. My arm is very good.
I need the whole castle to recover.
But yeah, he fucking...
I'm Harry Potter, you have to do what I say.
If you didn't see that, Tom's impression of me included like a wrist like flop as well.
It did.
Oh, God.
I mean, call it a stereotype, but you do that a lot.
Well, some stereotypes are true.
Yeah.
But yeah, he reaches out to get the snitch when the fucking bludger comes and it hits him in the elbow. And he's like, oh, fuck. But then he has to do it anyway. He fucking powers through that pain, manages to catch the snitch, and then he passes out.
Yeah.
And I was like, mate, like, I would give... That is something that fucking deserves 50 points to Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'd be like, mate, that is dedication to the cause, you know? So yeah, I was really proud of him, I was.
And he sort of blinks awake to Gilderoy Lockhart hovering over him.
Yeah.
And going, oh, it's a simple procedure. Allow me. And it... Because I knew what's
Someone
coming as well.
Get me some lube.
Yeah.
I was like, no, thanks.
Despite Harry insisting that he doesn't want Gilderoy Lockhart to try and fix his arm, that he should just go to the hospital wing, and other people saying he should go to the hospital wing, Lockhart tries and doesn't manage to mend the bones in Harry's arm, but removes them, meaning Harry's arm is basically just like a marigold glove filled with water. And
or a flaccid penis.
Okay. With fingers on the end.
Oh, God.
extra appendages.
Yeah, for all those hard to reach places.
Yeah. Yeah, and it occurred to me that I don't think I've ever hated a fictional character as much as I hate Gilderoy Lockhart.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
There are villains and characters that are just horrible, and you hate them, but it's a different way. I don't hate them in the same way that I hate Lockhart.
I guess just because he's so... I think a lot of villains, they're sort of villainous, like, intermittently. Do you know what I mean?
And at least they have motivations.
Yeah.
Like, whether you agree with them or not, they have something that's driving them.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like... And usually when they're not doing the dastardly act, you're quite interested just to hear what they're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
And they're usually quite smart people. Gilderoy is such an idiot, and he's so aggressively flamboyant about it.
Yeah.
And it's like...
And is so insistent on just shoehorning himself into finding a solution to every problem and being like, oh, I can do this, I've done... And he clearly fucking can't.
But this is the thing, he's so intent on trying to prove himself, and yet... Why would you try and do that by doing things that you're not 100% sure you can actually do?
Well, I think he must be delusional in to some extent.
Yeah.
Because I think that he believes that he, not necessarily, I think I said this in a previous episode, but all the things that he says he's done in his books that he clearly hasn't, I think he believes, not necessarily that he actually has, but that he could.
I guess so, yeah.
Because, like, if he wasn't sure that he could... You would have thought that he would be a little more like finding excuses not to do all these things that he says he's done, but he so readily charges to the front of everything and says, allow me, and then fucks it up every single time. And you just, that he must be delusional. He must have such selective memory.
Yeah, I think you're right then, actually. I think it must get to a point, it must have got to a point where he almost believes his own lies.
Yeah.
And then he's only these little reminders every now and again that he can't do it. And then that sort of brings him back down to earth, and then he just sort of blocks that out again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He just sort of moves on from it and doesn't... If someone was to bring it up again, he would just sort of mumble and, oh, I'm sure that didn't happen.
No, in a way, this kind of makes him maybe the most like interesting character, because the layers to him in order to be the way he is and act the way he does must be so great, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I can't fucking stand that.
I mean, I'd still rather him than Hagrid.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, at least Hagrid knows his own shortcomings to a larger extent than Lockhart does.
I mean, I feel like, at the end, he very much cuts the bullshit. I feel like if I could get to that place with Lockhart...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not so bad. Actually, no, do you know what? Fuck them both.
Yeah.
I want them both to die in a fire. he has a boneless arm, and then Lockhart says, okay, yeah, maybe you should go to the hospital wing now. And it's like, you prick.
Yeah.
So Harry does go to the hospital wing, and Madame Pomfrey gives him some Skelligrow. And says it's going to be a rough night.
Yeah.
You know how she feels about that. She could have fucking fixed that arm in a jiffy. She's like, oh, I've been waiting so long to use this potion.
We'll have to stay overnight.
Yeah. It has a sleeping draft in it as well.
Yeah.
When Harry feels like the stiff pain in his arm, he just looks over and she's just like carving her like initials into it. Like, you're going to be all mine now, boy. Oh, Madame Pomfrey. Yeah, so he has to spend the night in the hospital wing, which he does. And in the middle of the night, he wakes up to a feeling of a clammy sponge on his head. Oh, I just got the most awful visual. Just fucking Madame Pomfrey lifting up her skirt.
Oh,
just,
God.
Just like literally like...
giving him a snail trail.
Yeah. And Harry's like, oh, it's that wet sponge. And he's just like, oh, no, it's actually a hairy labia.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
She's like, oh, you weren't supposed to be awake. He's like, what are you doing? She's like, it's all a dream, yeah. Harry.
Man, I was grossed out enough just by the term clammy sponge.
Oh, if I ever open up a seaside bar, that's what I'm going to call it.
The spongy clam.
No, that just sounds too, like, nice. A spongy clam would be nice. About clammy sponge.
A spammy clunge.
Oh, mate! Add that! No! Take it back. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, right. Okay, moving
no,
swiftly
it's
on.
Not Madame Pomfrey's kebab. It's Dobby. And he's sponging Harry's head. And then they have a conversation.
They do. And Dobby, during that conversation, Dobby explains that, well, sort of indirectly explains that it was him that blocked...
Did everything.
Yeah. He's been the fucking bane of Harry's life this year so far. He blocked the gate going to the platform so he couldn't get on the Hogwarts Express. And he, you know, while the rogue bludger was chasing Harry during the Quidditch match, I was thinking, I actually can't remember who does this. I can't,
oh, really?
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
Well, you couldn't remember that Dobby was even a thing.
No. I just blocked him from my mind. Yeah. But I couldn't remember. I was thinking, was it Lockhart? And then I thought, no, that's me remembering the first book where the Defense Against the Dark Arches teacher tampers with a Quidditch match. And I was like, yeah, shit, I can't remember. But then, and I thought, maybe I'll have to wait a couple of episodes till the end of the book to find. No, literally later in the chapter, you find out. Yeah, so Dobby made the bludger go after Harry, and he only meant to maim or seriously injure.
Which I feel like is kind of Dobby's catchphrase.
Yeah, he says it later in the book, yeah, but book he says seven. It shitty and sarcastically.
Actually, yeah. Actually, no, maybe Dobby's catchphrase is bad Dobby. Does he actually say that? Bad Dobby.
Bad Dobby. I think he probably does.
Yeah,
Dobby,
I often
Dobby
say
is
that.
A free elf.
Dobby's a free elf.
He says
Dobby's
that.
Dobby's a dead elf.
Yeah. It's the ultimate freedom, right?
Okay, so...
Dobby also explains, Harry says, why don't you just leave if your masters treat you so horribly?
Oh, yeah.
And he explains the thing about... No, sorry. He asked, why do you wear that pillowcase?
Yeah.
And he says, you can't wear normal clothes.
Because I'm a member of the KKK.
Yeah.
Harry's like, oh, me too.
That Dean Thomas, am I right?
Fighting Lee Jordan. Yeah. Come around here, taking our women.
A boy with dreadlocks. the whole presenting a house self, his masters are careful not to present Dobby with even a sock. Because then Dobby would be free and allowed to leave forever. Do house elves not do laundry then?
I was thinking that too. Maybe if he picks up the laundry, it's fine. It's only if someone gives it to him.
Yeah, which you'd have to be really careful, like, not to...
I mean, not really, because I imagine that they do that sort of in and around them being, like, in their rooms and stuff. So I imagine Dobby will probably go into the Malfoys' rooms after they've gone to work or whatever, pick up all their shit, launder it...
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, magically dry it, but then I was like, well, why wouldn't you just magically wash it then? Maybe they just do elf magic to wash the clothes. So maybe they haven't got to touch it at all or anything. So maybe, yeah, if they pick up stuff. But then in book four, Hermione leaves, like, the elf hats in and around the Gryffindor common room, and they don't touch, and they start refusing to clean the common room because they don't want to touch the hats and be set free. So maybe it's the intent is the thing.
Yeah.
But then it couldn't be, because then that would mean that you could just pass him a sock to wash. Because if the intent to set him free wasn't there, then it shouldn't work, but it does.
Well, the intent to set him free isn't there when he actually gets set free.
Yeah, exactly. So you're right. The whole, they can't do laundry then.
No, which makes them quite inefficient sort of housekeepers, I think.
Then maybe you can just magic, you can just use your wand to it. You could use your wand to do everything a house elf does, I guess, but maybe you just use your wand to clean your clothes.
Yeah, maybe. I still feel like that would be below someone like Lucius Malfoy. That he probably just has like a human housekeeper as well as a house elf.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, I don't think so, though.
No?
No, maybe a house elf just has house elf magic to clean all the clothes and put them in the wardrobe so they don't actually touch it all.
Yeah, must be.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go with that. But yeah, so as they're talking, they hear some commotion, and then Dobby disappears with a loud crack, and in comes the teachers, and they've got a stiff boy on a stretcher. I mean,
crazy.
I'm not wrong. They're like, and he's been petrified.
Yeah. Yeah. Dumbledore, this boy is so stiff.
Dumbledore's like, I know, right? Quick, give me some charcoal and an etch-a-sketch.
You wouldn't need both.
I mean, just in case, right? I didn't say he was going to use the charcoal for drawing. So yeah, and it's Colin Creevy, the happy snapper. They put him on the bed and stuff, and he's still holding his camera. And Dumbledore prizes open the camera, And I thought, oh, that's the first thing. Anyone knows anything about old cameras that are not digital, you don't open the back of it like that. You need to open it in like a dark room, which he doesn't do. And I was like, well, of course, either way, the film would have been spoiled, I think, you know?
Oh.
Yeah. Well, my dad's a photographer, so.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. I mean, is the room not dark? I guess it needs to be a proper dark room. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Because any light will ruin the film. I think, anyway. So they open the back of the camera and Harry smells the smell of acrid plastic. And I was like, I don't think they have plastic in the Wizarding World.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So I was like, that's a bit bizarre.
Is it just a muggle camera, though?
Ah, maybe. But then how would he get it to work? Because electronics don't work in the Wizarding.
Is that true?
Yeah. So this is why they don't have anything, because all the... And I'm saying this with the biggest fucking air quotes you can imagine. There's so much magic in the air that it makes electricity go haywire. That's why, because in book 4, they say, oh, do you think that all these stories about us are getting leaked because someone, like, because Rita Skeeter has bugged the place? And then Hermione's like, well, no, she couldn't have, because electronics don't work around Hogwarts because there's too much magic in the air.
It is an old school film camera electric, though.
Well, it's not like old school. It's just sort of like I don't think it's like a 1950s like reporter, like, oh, guys, kind of like camera.
Well, that's what I imagined.
But I don't think it is that. But if it is, then either way, the film is made of plastic. So how do they do any sort of photography, right?
Well, if it's a muggle camera, then the plastic thing doesn't matter.
If it's a muggle camera, it's fine, yeah. But I don't think it is a muggle camera.
No?
Or if it is a muggle camera, it must be so fucking old that it doesn't run on electricity.
Yeah. Well, if it's a wizard camera, I mean, do Colin Creevy's pictures move? I don't know if we actually see them.
He says that you need to develop them. He says, oh, I just found out that if you develop them in a special potion that they move.
Oh, yeah. So if it's a very old muggle camera that doesn't work on electricity.
Maybe it just doesn't have a flash. Or maybe it has a magic flash. Because all you need is a thing to open the shutter to let the light in for it to imprint on the film, right? So maybe it can work without a battery in that sense. But then maybe the flash, if he has a flash, is a magic flash. Maybe he's bewitched it. Right. I want to stamp my foot in rage because Dumbledore says the most wank thing.
I know. I got the exact same fucking note. I know what you're going to say, but you say it.
So... They see Colin Creevy's all petrified. The camera goes up in smoke, right? And then I think McGonagall goes, but Dumbledore, who is behind all these attacks? And the Dumbledore goes, the question is not who, but how.
Well, it is also still who, isn't it?
It's all about who. Yeah. Who fucking cares how? I don't care how this person's getting killed. I care who is killing them.
Yeah.
It's like someone being like a pile of mincemeat or something, right? And someone's like, who's behind all these awful attacks? And Dumbledore being like, it's not about who.
Yeah.
But how?
I mean, he could have said, okay, yes, who is a very good question. There's also another sub-question of how.
Yeah, he should have been like, yeah, I know Minerva. And also how?
Yeah, but exactly.
The question is not who.
It's a disregard the question of who. It doesn't matter who's doing it. Yeah. It fucking does.
Like, the question is not who, Minerva, right? But how? I would have been like, no, I think the question is still who.
Yeah.
I mean, both are correct. Okay. You ain't got to belittle me in front of everyone. Okay.
Yeah. But I think it is both. They need the answers to both.
Yeah.
But I do think it is more who than how.
Definitely. Because yeah. How, that would be nice to know. But you need to know who is actually doing the fight. That's the important, that's the thing you have to stop.
Yeah.
Is the who.
And if you figure out who it is, I think that's got a better chance of leading to understanding how.
Yeah, they'll
than the
probably
other way
tell you, you know.
Yeah.
Just Dumbledore being fucking cryptic as per fucking usual.
Exactly. I've literally written cryptic wanker.
Yeah, I put Dumbledore with more cryptic bullshit.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, I was triggered by that.
Oh, God. I bet Minerva went back to Flitwick that night. I was like, you know, he fucking said that thing again. Like, what? He said not who, but how. And Flitwick's like, he fucking says that all the fucking time. Yeah. And Minerva's like, oh, so who's going to be cooking dinner tonight? The question is not who. But
also house elves.
So that is the end of the chapter. That's why she put it, because it's like the nice little like, ooh, Yeah. Like, enter the chapter.
Nice deal, enter the chapter.
I say this a lot. Actually, no, I don't say this a lot. I will say this a lot because I put a lot of notes about this. But literally, at this point, would you not have sent all the kids home?
Yeah, I mean, there's been, yeah, an attack on a cat and an attack on a student.
Yeah, at this point, you'd be like, this isn't safe anymore. And yeah, you would have just sent everyone home.
But they do seem to have a lot looser rules on this kind of thing in Hogwarts than they
everything,
do.
Really.
Yeah, I mean, later when we get the, well, I'm jumping ahead a bit now, but we get a little flashback to when the chamber was opened 50 years ago. And
it.
A student has been killed.
Yeah.
And the city just saying, they're talking about closing the school.
Yeah.
Fucking, yeah.
Like, well, unless the culprit can be apprehended, we're going to have to close the school. It's like, should have fucking closed the school literally when the first thing at all happened.
Yeah.
It's not safe.
Oh, well, just... I'm glad we agree on that.
It's not safe in the Chamber of Secrets. Right, so Harry gets out of the hospital wing the next day because his bone is regrown. Yeah. And he goes to find Ron and Hermione, and they turn out to be in Myrtle's bathroom, and Harry tells them everything.
Yes.
What I thought is they're talking about all their plans and Polyjuice plans and stuff. Are they not scared that Myrtle will, like, tell on them? Because she's often in the bathroom at the same time they are. And they say she was crying in the stall, so they just decided to ignore each other. But I was like, they're talking about all this stuff. Myrtle's like, well, we know what Myrtle's like. Are they not scared that she's just going to go and find someone and tell them everything?
I mean, I would be scared. It turns out Myrtle's actually got a fair bit of knowledge about what's going on at Hogwarts right now, but they don't know that right now, and Myrtle's just keeping all of that to herself, so she's not that fucking gossipy. But
I guess so.
They don't know that.
And I get a feeling that she's not friends with any of the other ghosts either.
No, seems like nobody can stand her, which, I mean, I fucking get why.
She's the fuck. I'm glad she's dead. So Harry tells them that Dobby was the one behind all the things that have happened. And I love this so much. Fucking Ron goes, bloody hell, Harry. If he doesn't stop trying to save your life, he's going to kill you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Ron, I love that so much. That's like the first of his like awesome lines. And I was like, oh. Oh, you cheeky little ginge. So they're talking about how they're going to get the potion ingredients, right? And so they decide that they're going to try and steal them during their potions lesson. And there's a line that describes this, well, describes sort of Harry's thoughts about what they're about to try and do. And it says, deliberately causing havoc in Snape's potion lesson was about as safe as poking a sleeping dragon in the eye.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a wasted opportunity to not use the Hogwarts motto of never tickle a sleeping dragon.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that would have been really cool if she just put, it was about as safe as tickling a sleeping dragon. I would have thought, oh, that would have been really cool.
That would have been a nice little thing to find for people who...
speak Latin.
For people who know enough about Harry Potter to know what the thing means.
Oh, God. So they get into potions and they've got a firework. Is it, it's like a Wet Works firework or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a firework from that firework place in firework alley. So they throw a firework into Goyle's cauldron that creates a big diversion, as you can imagine. And as they're doing that, Hermione runs to Snape's store cupboard and pilfers, and then comes back. And then Snape says, like, if I ever find out who did this, I'll make sure to it that they are expelled.
Yeah.
I feel like expelled is thrown around a lot by Snape.
Yeah.
He says it a lot. That's like his major, like, sort of threat.
And as far as we know, nobody actually gets expelled during,
no one gets expelled
during their time at Hogwarts.
Yeah, like, you'd have to do some really bad shit to get expelled. Like, you'd have to, like, literally, they would have to see you slit in another student's throat.
Well, I mean, Harry and Ron, I feel, have done the worst stuff. Well, to be fair, we probably don't, there's no reason for us to know all the disciplinary shit that all the other Hogwarts students have been up to.
That's true.
But Harry and Ron have done some pretty bad stuff. What they're doing, they don't get caught for it, but what they end up doing with the Polyjuice potion.
Because Polyjuice is like an Azkabanable offence, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's actually illegal.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. So that's why it's like super fucking like, Hermione is such a G. Like, she's just like, look, we're going to fucking do this super illegal potion.
Yeah.
Just to find out this little bit of information. Which is why I'm like, they shouldn't be talking about this in front of Merle. They shouldn't be talking about this in front of anyone. And they should give it like a code name. Like, instead of Polyjuice potion, they just say, I don't know.
Changey draft.
Changey draft. Just say, they should call it like handshake. Yes, when we take the handshake. everyone will be like, what? Huh.
That sounds like a code word for something.
Quick, where's my Enigma machine? Yeah. And shake. Heil Hitler. What? Nothing. Pull it away. So they get the ingredients and then they lead the lesson. They see, I don't know if this happens in the same breath, it might literally be the next day, but who's to know, right? They see a notice up about Julian Club.
Yeah.
And it's been run by Lockhart and Snape.
Yeah, although they don't know that yet.
They don't know that yet. They get there and then they find out. And Ron says another awesome line.
I wonder who's going to be running it.
And then Ron goes, wouldn't it be good if they finished each other off?
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't know you were that way inclined, Ron, but okay. And Harry's like, oh, wow, I thought I was the only gay one. And Ron's like, what? And Harry's like, what? They decide to go because I think it'd be good to know about, like, you know, because Seamus is like, oh, that'd be good to know because it'd be handy to know about dueling outside of school and stuff.
Yeah. Yes. You got the era, though, fucking Dark Lord.
The Dark Lord.
Prowling around the school.
You never know. Voldemort might be hiding around any corner.
I don't think we should do accents.
I mean, I am part Irish, so I can do whatever the fuck I want. Ugh, lads. No, but for real, though, my nan was from Belfast. She's dead now. just like Harry's parents. they get put into pairs in the dueling club. And I love this so much. Because Harry automatically wants to be put with Ron. And then Snape's like, oh, no. I think we'll break up the dream team.
Yeah.
And then Harry sort of like sidles next to Hermione. And then he's like, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so, Harry. Let me find the worst person. Oh, look, Malfoy, Harry. Yeah. You go with him.
But before that, there's the demonstration duel.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
So Lockhart and Snape come out onto the sort of platform or whatever, and Snape's got just the most evil look in his face. And this is one of like the only scenes in the series where I 100% get Snape.
Yeah.
I'm like, yep, on that guy's team all the way. I would do exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't want to like hurt Lockhart necessarily. You just want to
speak for yourself.
You just want to embarrass him. You'd want
to. Like, cadaver. I'd be like, oh, sorry, guys.
Oh, sorry.
So I meant to say.
Stupefy.
Yeah. And.
I said, oh, it just came out. I don't know. Oh.
Sorry, old habits die hard. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. What spell does he do? Does he do Expelliarmus?
He does Expelliarmus. And I always noted how Harry... this is the first time we've seen what becomes Harry's like signature spell. And it's Snape that he sees doing it for the first time.
Wow.
Which, I mean, I don't know what I think about that, but it's something.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Insert joke here.
Yeah.
So
right,
he does it, didn't he? And Lockhart goes flying.
Yeah, and sometimes the Expelliarmus, I guess it just depends how hard you throw the Expelliarmus spell.
Depends what you're aiming it at.
Yeah, it may be, yeah, because sometimes you just aim it at the other wizard's wand or whatever. The other wizard's wand just flies out of their hand, and sometimes it like flings them back.
I feel like whatever you're aiming it at, it makes it like, it's like a concussive, like, jump force kind of thing.
Yeah, but it always makes you drop your wand because it blasts Lockhart back, and then Lockhart says that he demonstrated the disarming spell. As you can see, I've lost my wand. Oh, thank you, whoever hands it back.
Are you sure it always makes you drop your wand?
Well, it's a disarming charm. That's its whole thing. That's why it becomes Harry's signature spell. He doesn't like aggressively attack. He just disarms his opponent. That's like his whole honorable thing.
That's curious then. So why would a disarming spell make...
Have that force, that impact. I've often wondered that. But I just feel like it depends how aggressively you throw it, maybe.
Maybe the disarming aspect of it is just the fact that it makes things go like... Phew. So maybe it's not... it doesn't actually disarm by the the spell doesn't actually disarm in the sense that it's concentrating on removing the wizard from the wand, or vice versa. but maybe it's just the... It will either blow the wand out of your hand, or if... you're like thrown back, you'll naturally drop your wand. You know, maybe it's a little loose like that.
Yeah, maybe. But I feel like there are other spells that just...
We don't see any other spells that make people like, that throw people about.
Meh.
I mean, who knows?
Who knows? It's vague.
Letter
and
to JK. Yeah. Spoonful of sugar. So that happens, and then they all have to like practice dueling with each other. And Malfoy does the Rictum Semper spell, right? What does it do?
I think Harry does it to Malfoy. It's a tickling spell. Harry does the tickling spell on Malfoy, and then between gasps, Malfoy does turn to Lego or whatever on Harry.
That's bizarre then, because in the film, Rictum Semper is the snake conjuring spell.
A serpent sortier.
Oh, fuck yeah. We'll cut this.
Come on, mate.
So what does Rictum Semper does in the film then? It's not, doesn't do that.
I don't know.
That might be the spell that knocks Malfoy like spinning or something.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's all a bit like, you know, visualed up in the film. It's like, it's. I feel like there's a tap dancing thing at some point.
No, it's definitely not.
No?
I all promise right. you that.
Well, I don't know. I feel like it's probably, they don't probably use the exact same spells in the film. They probably do things that have a little more visual to
them.
Well,
they definitely use that Rictum Semper, because I remember thinking when I watched the film, I was like, oh, I'm sure that's a spell that like slashes you, isn't it? Which was Septum Semper.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's used for a different thing. Yeah, so they do that, and then they decide they want to do like, why do they want to get him up on stage? I can't remember why they do that.
Oh, I don't know. It's now let's demonstrate something specific, this spell versus this spell or whatever.
Yeah, because Lockhart tries to give an example and then ends up dropping his wand.
Yeah, so Snape was whispering stuff to Malfoy, do this and this, and Lockhart's like, right, when Malfoy launches this at you, do exactly as I do, and tries to do a complicated like flourish with his wand and just drops it. And goes, oh, well, one's a bit lively today. And then as they're getting ready, Harry's like, could you just show me that again, sir? And he's like, just do what I did, Harry. And he's like, what, drop my wand?
What, drop my wand? Yeah. That's Lockhart, just backhanded him around the face.
I mean,
don't fucking talk to your teacher like that,
it's
all right?
It's a legit quip,
you little shit. I'm at least 40 years older than you, and my parents are still alive, so... Anyway, good luck.
And yes, drop your fucking wand.
So they fight, and then Malfoy conjures a snake.
Yeah.
It's a different snake to the film as well, because it's like a black, might even be a black mamba that he conjures. But in
just a
the
big old black snake.
Yeah, and that's what my nickname is. And but in the film, it's a cobra, which I thought was a bit cooler.
They look cooler, don't they?
Yeah. The snake is sort of like edging its way along the platform, and it goes towards Justin Finch-Fletchley, and then Harry's like, he says like, stop or leave him alone or something.
Yeah.
And then the snake stops and looks at Harry, and then Harry was like, he doesn't know how, but he knew that the snake wouldn't attack him or something like that.
Yeah, and then Justin freaks out.
And like, what do you think I'm playing at?
Yeah, and runs out, and then there's a bit of confusion.
And then Ron does another fucking dope thing. He's like, come on, we need to get you out of here. And I was like, Ron, you're so fucking on the ball. So they hurry him out, and they get him back to the common room. That's it. And as they're leaving the hall, like, students, like, back away from Harry, like, they might catch something.
Yeah.
And it's like, ugh. So they get to the common room, and then Don? And Don's like, hey, Harry, I didn't know you could talk to snakes. No, but Ron's like, Harry, I didn't know that you could talk to snakes. And Harry's like, yeah, I spoke to one. This is only the second time I've done it, though.
Yeah.
And he's like, I once set a python and my cousin at the zoo. That's funny.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Ron's like, a boa constrictor told you I'd never seen Brazil. Okay.
Yeah. I forgot about that. No, that's it. Ron starts the conversation. He goes, you didn't tell us that you were a parcel tongue or a parcel mouth.
Yeah.
You didn't tell us that you could speak parcel force. And and then Harry's like, what? He's like, you can speak to snakes. And then that happens. And then Harry's like, why is it a big deal? And everyone's like, it's a big deal because Salazar Slytherin could speak to snakes. That's why the emblem of Slytherin House is a snake.
Yeah, it's a rare thing, and it's like the mark of a dark wizard, supposedly. Yeah.
So Ron's like, so he doesn't say, but he's like, so everyone's going to blatantly think you're Slytherin's heir.
Yeah, and frankly, I do as well.
So Harry's like, no, that's not what I did. I was making him not go after him. So he decides to go and find Justin.
Yeah.
He heads to La Biblioteca. And he doesn't find Justin, but he hears a bunch of other students saying that Justin's hiding up in his common room. And they're saying, yeah, so Harry, I bet Harry's the heir of Slytherin. We never really found out how he managed to survive the Dark Lord's curse. Only a really dark wizard could survive that.
Yeah, he's got all these old Ernie...
Macmillan.
Ernie Macmillan. What?
That's why, do you know, because in film three, do you know the talking heads that Lenny Henry does the voice for in the bus? He says, take it away, Ern, when they're going to drive the bus.
Oh, vaguely, yeah.
He's like, 3, 2, 1 3/4.
Ernie Macmillan.
Ernie.
God,
I'd love to hear that accent as one of among the students. Alas, it was relegated to a talking head that we never see again. Thanks, JK. So, Harry heads off after that. No, he goes up to them, Denning, and goes, I wasn't trying to do anything, so you guys need to get off my case.
Yeah, and Ernie stands up all, puffed up chest and confronts him, and they have a little argument, and I can't remember how it ends. Harry just sort of storms off, I think.
I think so. And he's like, yeah, go back to your common room, you brass clad. So Harry bumps into, of course, Hagrid.
Oh, yeah.
Hagrid needs a jingle. I feel like it would be like, bom, 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 bom.
Yeah.
Here he comes around the corner, Hagrid. Has he killed something else? Is Hagrid. His baked a pie, he's done a shit. We all know he's a massive git. Is Hagrid. Bom, 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 bom.
All right, remember all those lyrics and do that every time he comes up.
I need to remember. It's been recorded. Oh, God, and Hagrid's got, a dead rooster in his hand. And Harry's like, fucking hell, what happened there? Something's been killing them all year. And I was like, fucking hell, how many roosters have you got that something's been killing them all year? Surely you've only got one rooster amongst, a bunch of hens.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Because my initial thought was, well, for all the food and stuff, but you don't eat the roosters. You eat the female chickens, right?
Yeah. You do make roosters into, soups and I think because roosters aren't as, meaty as the female ones. So you just make cock soup instead. Dumbledore's favourite. Right, so Harry finishes his interaction with Hagrid, turns the corner and trips over something.
Yeah.
Looks down and it's dun dun dun.
Nearly head as Nick.
No, it's Justin Finch-Fletchley.
Fuck. I had a 50-50 chance. They're both there.
Yeah, this was fuck. So Justin's there on the ground, petrified. Nearly headless Nick is horizontal, black and translucent and smoking.
Yeah.
He's not smoking a cigarette, as in he's like, oh, Harry, never guess what I just did.
With Justin.
Yeah. He's not petrified. He's just shocked to the nth degree at how good it was. Once you've had Ghost, you like it the most. So Harry's like, fuck, this literally could not be worse.
Yeah.
And he pauses a bit too long before he decides to run away and it's too late.
Yep, everyone comes and sees him.
No, Peeves comes out.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And Peeves is like, oh, Potter, you right? What have you been doing? Oh, blah, blah, blah. And then he freezes mid-somersault, sees Nearly Headless Nick, sees Justin, and then he's like, help, a tiger, tiger. The Potter boy is at it again or
everyone
something.
Everyone runs out of the classroom and sees him.
Yeah.
And at this point, are they anywhere near Moaning Myrtle's bathroom? We don't know, do we?
Huh, I don't know.
How far across the castle has the basilisk had to travel to get there?
The basilisk travel is really problematic to me.
Because do you think the basilisk waits until there's nobody else around except the target? Because it's actually amazing that nobody else sees it. It just goes and gets its one person. And then the fact that they all happen to see it indirectly in some way is a whole other thing.
The thing is that this is a massive beast. And so it's not as if it can slither away quickly.
Exactly.
And also, because we find out it's travelling through the pipes, right? How the fuck is it fitting in a pipe? Even the largest pipe is maybe the size of a dinner plate or something, right? Fucking the basilisk is a big fucking dinosaur level snake.
Yeah.
How's it? And so, and it would have to be fucking climbing out of a toilet. How's it doing any of this?
I don't think. I think it. Ginny had, because as soon as Harry gets the diary, this is, happens in the next episode, really. But the killings, the attacks stop.
Yeah.
So it must be Ginny that has to open the Chamber of Secrets for it.
Yeah, that's already. Yeah, that's like properly established later on.
But I thought you said, you just said he must have to be coming out of the toilet.
No, but it's. It doesn't come up through the Chamber of Secrets, does it? That's how she gets down there. That's not how the Basilisk gets up, I don't
think.
Well,
then why do the attacks stop when once Ginny doesn't have the diary?
Because she needs to open the chamber to get him out. Oh, no, you're so right. Yeah, sorry. I've just talked myself into a black hole. Yep. No, you're right. Yeah, so it must be coming out of that. But then for it to get into the pipes, it would have to go... through a like through a toilet, because it's not gonna fucking fit through a tap hole.
Well, doesn't the sink move out the way and it becomes a bigger entrance when the chamber is open?
Yeah, so the sink opens to, it can get into the bathroom through the chamber entrance, right?
Yeah,
but it's moving around the school through the pipes.
I just assumed that there was an entrance into the plumbing in the Chamber of Secrets, but then there'd be another way into the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, and then she wouldn't have to let it out. But maybe the attacks stopped because the beast has to be summoned.
Yeah, maybe. It's probably more of an ambiguous summoning, isn't it? Yeah. Rather than a physical opening of the chamber. It has to be for it to make sense, I think.
Yeah. But then why would you need to keep it in a chamber then? Because if it's only active when you summon it, then it would just be dormant the rest of the time.
But where would it be dormant
without...
But it
can definitely get out, because there's all those... When they go down there eventually, there's all those bones and shit at the bottom of that chute where it must have been getting to eat things and stuff.
Yeah, although it's only this year that Hagrid's roosters have been... being killed.
Yeah, but the basilisk is not killing the roosters.
Is it not?
No, it's Ginny. Because roosters, the crow of a rooster is deadly to it. So Ginny's been killing the roosters so that they don't kill it.
Oh, okay. I'd forgotten that detail. That seems like a serious weakness.
I mean, it's just like, it's just more fucking JKQ in it.
Yeah.
It's just, like,
just,
it's
Harry, just go grab a rooster, then pop down the Chamber of Secrets.
I mean, or just fucking YouTube a clip of one. Or just go right down there and be like, I've been defeated. Anyway, that's skipping ahead. Literally.
I love the idea of saying the words "I've been defeated" as as you get like vanquished.
Imagine if that's Voldemort's last word. Like, oh, I've been defeated. So anyway, McGonagall comes and then he's like, McGonagall, I didn't do it. And she's like, oh, it's a matter that's out in my hands now, Potter.
Yeah, she's Irish as well now.
Right. For the sake of an accent I can mildly do, from now on, McGonagall's going to be Irish. It's out of my hands now, Potter. Gotta take you to the headmaster.
Is that Northern Irish?
I get really like sort of, because I can do like a... I can do like a normal Irish accent like that. That's like Southern Irish, right? Then a Northern Irish is a bit like that. It's like, oh, it's a bit Carol in here, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I can do a normal Irish accent. Just kind
That's
of,
very like, oh, speaking, I just work on the farm.
Speaking like that.
Yes, but then, my dad sells ambrosia.
Yeah. But then a Northern Irish accent, I can only say, going out in the town. Going for a swim in the pool.
Swim in the pool.
Yeah.
Because Nadine from Girls Aloud is Northern Irish. She would say like, okay, so we're going on tour. Like, girls allayed.
Like, allowed.
Like that. Girls allayed. Allayed. We're such wankers.
I mean, we're going to cut most of that, I imagine.
I know, please. Can we keep it? Oh, God. Oh.
Jesus.
Right, so Harry gets taken up the back passage. No, Harry gets Harry gets taken up to Dumbledore's
gets
office.
Gets taken up Dumbledore's passage.
Dumbledore's fucking spiral passage that just goes up and up and up. And he goes into the office and he looks around and he sees the sorting hat on top of the thing.
Yeah, I think we're in chapter 12 now, by the way. I think as they...
Oh, of course, sorry, yeah.
As they approach the door, the chapter ends, and then we're on chapter 12, the Polyjuice Potion.
Yes, well done. So they're in Dumbledore's office, and he sees his sorting hat, and he looks up at it, and he's, like, very quizzical, and then the sorting hat goes, be in your bonnet, Potter. And then he's like,
Yes, yeah. Actually.
And then he's like, you're wondering if you should have been in Slytherin.
You're wondering if I made a mistake back last year. He's like, yes. And you said, what? the sorting hat says, I stand by what I said.
Yeah.
And Harry gets all excited.
Yeah.
And he's like, you would have done well in Slytherin. He's like,
you guys. By the way, the only reason the hat wanted to put him in Slytherin was because of the piece of Voldemort's soul in his head.
Spoilers. Fucking hell.
To be fair, I spoiled that in episode one.
Yeah.
And that's also the only reason that Harry can speak Parsel. That's the only reason Harry can speak Parsel tongue. So Harry's
So does he lose that ability then?
Yeah.
After the...
Yeah. Which I'd be a bit miffed about.
It's a pretty cool thing, isn't it? Yeah. To be able to talk to snakes.
Yeah. Alas. And then Harry hears a gagging noise behind him and he turns and he's like, Dumbledore! Yeah. Dumbledore's like, duh, I'll be with you in a minute, Harry, just finishing up. Yeah. And Snape's like, oh, turn away. I'm just here for my weekly refreshment. No, it's a little bird choking to death on its own entropy, I guess.
Yeah. Wow. Isn't that what we all die on?
Oh my god,
we fall upon our own entropy.
Yeah. Wow, guys, let's take a moment to think about that.
All right, that was a good moment.
How long is a moment?
There is an actual definition of how long a moment is.
Really?
Yeah, can't remember what it is though.
Oh, fuck off then. With your unfacts. Yeah. So he sees this bird literally burst into flame and then Dumbledore appears and Harry's like, I swear to God, I didn't touch that bitch.
Yeah.
And then Dumbledore's like, no, Harry, Fox is a phoenix.
It's a shame you had to see him on a burning day.
Yeah.
His plumage is quite remarkable most of the time.
Yes, let me fill you in with some more exposition. So, phoenixes are wondrous creatures, Harry. They can carry immensely heavy loads and their tears have healing properties.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, okay.
And something else as well. Can't remember what. Because I remember the tears having healing properties was like sandwiched in the middle of three.
Huh.
Can't remember what the third one was though.
Joel, do you think it's about his song, his singing? I don't think his singing does anything magical though. It's just nice though, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Huh. I wish I could remember now.
Yeah,
I could only remember
too.
The lifting and the tears. Oh, that's it. And they make immensely faithful pets.
Yeah,
he
that's
says.
It, yeah.
And I'm like, why do you need to stress the faithful bit? No, he won't cheat on me with anyone.
Yeah.
He fucks me and only me.
When you find yourself in the Chamber of Secrets later, Harry,
yeah,
you can
just
rely
remember.
On Forks.
Yeah, but, all right. So this is like, I would say this is like part 1A of like a double hit of like wanky things that he says that are both sort of could be said in that moment. That I'm like, fuck off. You would never say that in any normal situation ever, unless you literally knew everything that was about to unfold.
Which you kind of, there are certain hints that Dumbledore kind of does know exactly what's going on at all times and therefore would have a pretty good idea of what's coming. But
I mean, we know he does because he fucking wanks off to it at night, remember? He's like, I won't do anything because I need to wank.
Yeah.
He's like, look, I can't come if everyone knows. Oh, God. So,
And you don't want to see me on a day when I'm backed up.
Literally, I bring a new definition to the word blue balls. that happens, and then literally Hagrid fucking like pummels his way in, and then he's like, "Oh, I swear, oh, he was a very old dying Dumbledore.
He never done nothing, sir.
He never done nothing, sir. He didn't do anything. He didn't kill that woman. Like what?" And then Dumbledore's like, Hagrid! I don't for one second believe that Harry has anything to do with the attacks or whatever. And Hagrid's like, oh, all right then.
I'll just wait outside then.
Yeah, I'll just go back to killing my roosters. Oh, you mean finding the dead roosters? I mean, no roosters. So that happens. And then that's kind of the end of that. Nothing happens.
Yeah, well, Dumbledore says, I don't think you've done it, Harry. However, I would like to take this opportunity to ask, is there anything at all that you would like to tell me? And how loads of stuff runs through Harry's head about how people think he's the heir and about how, I can't remember what, but it's all the stuff with the Polyjuice Potion, suspicion about Malfoy.
Shit, so do you think Dumbledore saw all that then?
I reckon Dumbledore knows everything that goes on in the castle, yeah. I think he's got... Because the Marauder's map was made by like students. Dumbledore definitely, and that's such a useful tool. Dumbledore definitely has his own version of that somewhere.
I don't think he does, actually. I don't think he does.
Well, he just knows.
I'm just thinking because you remember, because like Dumbledore does like legitimacy a lot.
Yeah.
To, even though that's a really fucking, that's a massive violation of privacy, but him and Snape both do it to Harry on various occasions before we know what that is. So imagine if he saw all that in that moment through Harry's mind. Decided to do nothing about it.
But I think if you know, Dumbledore obviously knows that the Marauder's Map is possible to be made. So why would you not?
But he doesn't know it's a thing yet.
Bet he does.
I don't reckon he does, you know, because no one knew could make that magic until you said the thing, right? So all Filch knew was that he confiscated a bit of paper. He doesn't know anything. He would have had no reason to tell Dumbledore about this.
I can't see Dumbledore being that ignorant about it. He must know that magic exists. If students made that map...
Yeah, I don't think it, but I don't think that's like special magic. I think it's amazing that they took on the feat of creating one for the whole of Hogwarts that worked.
But why would Dumbledore not have one for the whole of Hogwarts?
Because think about why the Marauders made it. It was so they could carry on their like illicit activity.
Yeah.
Whilst avoiding anyone who might catch them.
I think Dumbledore would have one.
That's probably precisely why Dumbledore has one, right?
Well, I think he would make one so that he can maintain this air of being a sort of godlike figure that's just like all-knowing and all-seeing. But
I mean, maybe, yeah.
But anyway, I think that's kind of what he is to Hogwarts.
Okay, I'll take that.
I reckon he makes his own decisions about when he intervenes.
Yeah, he's his own man.
Yeah. But Harry says no, basically. There isn't anything that he wants to talk about. So Harry doesn't talk to Dumbledore about anything at this point, which I think is kind of a missed opportunity.
I mean, what's he going to say that would have resulted in an answer that he would have wanted?
Well, nothing, because he's talking to Dumbledore.
Yeah, exactly. Dumbledore would have been like, no, I trust everyone, always. Right.
Yeah.
And let's just wait for the next person to die then.
Yeah.
Dumbledore's like, precisely. interesting thing is that there's no information on how Fawkes became Dumbledore's pet. Because I thought, I wonder how they met, and there isn't a story for it yet.
Huh.
So, it's never writing. You know what?
Doing this podcast has actually made me want to write Harry Potter fan fiction. For stuff like that. And things like, what does Griphook do with the Gryffindor sword after he runs off with it?
Good question.
Like, if that story doesn't exist, I kind of want to write it.
I don't think any of those goblins made it out of Gringotts that day until Voldemort appeared and then took them all back to the Malfoy Manor, and then he killed them all. So I think Griphook was alive.
Really?
Yeah, don't you remember? So when he finds out his vault's been broken into, he has all of the employees that were there at Malfoy Manor, and then he kills them all.
Fuck.
Yeah, so that's after Griphook dies, that's when the sword goes back to wherever it goes back to.
Well, there we go.
So yeah, that happens, and then...
And then it's
Christmas.
Christmas, yeah.
Everyone goes home, apart from the Malfoy kid. Malfoy.
Yeah.
And the Crabbe and Goyle.
Yeah.
And then...
Harry, Ron and
Hermione. Yeah, they decide to stay. Obviously, Harry has to stay.
Yeah.
The other two decide to stay because they need to do this thing.
And some of the other... Fred and George and Percy stay as well because their parents are off visiting Bill in Egypt.
Again? Yeah, weren't they away the year before as well? Do you think they go every year?
Maybe. Oh, yeah, Ron was definitely... Because they all got jumpers in the last book. They haven't been with their family on Christmas in ages.
So maybe they go every year.
Maybe.
Fucking hell. So that's where they're fucking putting all the money.
Yeah.
So Hermione says that the potion's going to be ready on Christmas Day, I think.
Yeah.
Or in like a couple of days, which happens to be Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And they need to steal hairs from Crabbe and Goyle.
Yeah.
So that they can transform them. Hermione already has her hair.
Little pedantic thing I picked up on.
What?
Christmas Day, they're opening their presents.
Yeah.
Hedwig swooped into the room. Had the fucking window open in December, did they?
Shit, son. Well, I mean, to be fair, any room that has fucking like 5 11-year-old boys in it, you need that window open all the time.
And at some point, they bewitched Percy's prefect badge so that it said Pinhead.
I think of all the things you could have fucking made it say.
I know, they could have done like, so much better than
that. Yeah, like literally, you could have called him like...
I mean, it's close to penis.
Yeah, just literally put penis or prick.
I mean, Pinhead... Pinhead's terrible.
Yeah, that's not even an insult.
It's
really.
It's a good idea for a prank. I like changing his badge to say something stupid and have him not notice. But Pinhead.
Anyway, so Ron says about the plan. He goes, "Have you ever heard of a plan where so many things could go wrong?" And I was like, Ron, you're just giving me all these lines. I'm loving every single one of them. Because, yeah, so many, the amount of things that have to go right for that plan to succeed is pretty, like...
Yeah. It all does go right, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Surprisingly, actually. Yeah. I think they're surprised that they managed to get the hairs and stuff. And
yeah.
Anyway, so they get the hairs.
Yeah, well, they do it because it's after the...
Feast, right?
After the Christmas feast, yeah. And it said just they had barely finished their third helpings of Christmas pudding when Hermione dragged them away. They eat so fucking much. Like, unless their helpings are tiny.
I feel like they're not, though.
No. So, like, people don't eat that much.
But do they have a lunch at Hogwarts or just a breakfast and a dinner?
Well, surely they have 3 meals a day.
I don't know, you know. I don't...
There's never any mention of lunch, yeah, to be fair. But, I mean, even so, she's always talking about, like, that he helped himself to fourth helpings of this or that. And it's like, fuck, man, people don't have fourth helpings.
I mean, but on Christmas, you kind of do.
Maybe, but how are they
Most people eat until they're stuffed on Christmas.
I mean, Harry has Quidditch practice. Ron doesn't exercise for shit. How is he not fat?
Ron's quite tall, though, so he's probably got a fast metabolism.
Yeah. Well, still.
Ron maybe does other sports.
Does he? There's no mention of it. Chess.
Water sports.
Him and Hermione.
Oh, God. Who's doing who?
Getting real experiment. Let's probably switch it up.
Maybe they just both go at the same time.
Yeah.
Maybe they just get in like a proper like a cast iron tub and just fucking one stands up, one sits down. It. Yeah. Oh. Jesus Christ.
All right. So they've finished their Christmas feast or whatever. Crabbe and Goyle are still in there feasting out, and Hermione lays out a couple of cakes with some sleeping draft in them,
yeah,
for Crabbe and Goyle to run into as they exit the thing.
Do you think it's the draft of living death?
The sleepy draft.
So that happens. They go to the potion room, they go to the loo,
yeah, which is, it's pretty fucking dark actually, knocking them out and then dragging them to a cupboard and locking them in it.
I mean, literally, that's literally all the steps you would take for date rape.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, it's like what they're doing is actually so fucking bad.
Yeah.
Like, they should be expelled.
I concur, like, for real. But I mean, you know, the ends justify the means. So they get into the cubicle where the cauldron's brewing.
Yep.
So they put all the shit in the cauldron, they take the potions in separate cubicles. Hermione doesn't come out because she's like, no, you guys go ahead. Something's gone wrong or something. Go ahead. You ain't got long left. Because they spend about 5 minutes trying to get Hermione out of the thing. And then Harry's like, we realise we've wasted 5 minutes of our 60.
Yeah. And I feel, because in the book, they get Crabbe and Goyle's voices.
I put this as well, yeah.
Because in the films, I feel like I can remember, they say, oh, you still sound like you. And they're all like, oh, how's this?
Yeah, all of them. Even when they use Apologies Potion in film 7, they'll have their own voices, yeah, still, which makes no sense.
No, it doesn't, because your voice box would change, yeah, if your exactly. physical self is changing.
It's a really stupid choice, I think, for them to do.
But they all still have their own brains.
Yeah.
But despite that, the way Stephen Fry reads it, their accents change as well. They speak much more like a bit Cockney sort of thing.
That's a very good point.
Just a bit weird. Doesn't quite make sense, but whatever.
I mean, maybe he just had to give them a voice to differentiate them, right?
Yeah.
So Stephen Fry does make some good decisions every now and again. Okay, so they...
Shit. I never imagined you would have like a fucking vendetta against Stephen Fry.
So they have to go and find the Slytherin dungeon and find someone to give them the password. They bump into a few people.
They didn't have the forethought to like work out where the Slytherin common room is beforehand.
That was a bit of a... To be fair, I feel like they had so much on their mind that was just an oversight.
They also had a lot of time to think about this plan they were going
to
do.
Yeah, to be fair. They find it eventually. Yeah. So good on them. Gold star. 10 points to Slytherin. So they bump into a Ravenclaw first and they're like, oh, can you remind us where the common room is? And she's like, common room? I'm a Ravenclaw. And she fucks off.
Yeah.
And then they get down to the dungeons and then they bump into Percy and have a bit of a thing with him.
Yeah, and Ron as Crabbe or whoever is like, what are you doing here? Yeah. Percy's like, excuse me?
I'm a prefect.
Yeah. The fuck are you talking to me like that?
Percy, mate. No one takes a prefect seriously.
No, I know.
Then Malfoy appears and says something shitty.
Yeah, something. I don't know. There's a bit of a shitty exchange and then they part ways and then Malfoy is like, yeah, where have you been picking out in the Great Hall this whole time? Come on, let's go.
So they go to the common room door and then Malfoy's like, oh, what's the password again? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what's the new password?
That's it, yeah. Pure blood. And I was like, oh, God, I would hate...
Are they trying to fucking paint the Slytherins out to be like, people are going to suspect Slytherins already because the heir of Slytherin. And then he says the new password. So it must have been changed to that since the attacks.
Who sets the password though?
Must be Snape, right?
Maybe it's the prefects do. Because the heads don't really ever go in there.
No, but I would have thought the heads of a house would set the...
I mean, maybe. I feel there are some good Slytherins, you know, and I feel like if I was a half-blood in Slytherin, which I feel like, I mean, if Voldemort got in there, I feel like other half-bloods do.
Yeah.
If they're, like, Slytherin-y enough. It's like, I would hate for that to be my password. I would ask to change house.
Yeah, it would be awful, wouldn't it? Especially, like, given what's going on. So the password has been changed to pureblood after these attacks.
Yeah.
Start.
Yeah, that's not on. But they get inside, they have a little chat. Malfoy brings out this fucking cutting that his dad sent him of Mr. Weasley like facing getting like suspended from work or something like that.
Like fined 50 galleons or something.
Which is all they fucking have, I'm sure.
Yeah. Let's still afford a trip to Egypt though.
Oh, maybe Bill paid for them to go.
Yeah, he probably
that's
did.
Probably
yeah.
more likely.
Yeah.
Because Bill's fucking a treasure hunter, right? So he's probably making bank. You should fucking send more money home then.
Yeah.
But then maybe he's like, no, I worked half this money while my fucking mum is sitting at home.
Well, maybe, because otherwise he would have probably offered to bring like Percy and Fred and George and Ron as well if he could have afforded it, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, Ron would have stayed anyway.
Okay, yeah, I'll go with that. So yeah, I thought, why did fucking Malfoy care enough to fucking send his son that bit of thing? Like, that's so petty.
Yeah, like, it is, right?
Yeah.
That's my thing about villains in books only existing relative to the heroes and their stories.
Yeah, like, you're right.
They wouldn't be that concerned about it.
Yeah, at all.
Yeah.
Like, Malfoy's got other shit to worry about.
Yeah. Like, surely, like, the Weasleys and the fact that they're below them is only a vague thing on their periphery that surely...
Maybe they're so rich and they're so bored that, like, this kind of thing is, like, you know, their bread and butter.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, to send it to your fucking, like, 12-year-old son. Like, fucking get alive.
Yeah.
Get a life. So, anyway, they have conversations. It turns out Malfoy doesn't know who the heir of Slytherin is.
No, but he knows some about when it was opened last time. And he says, apparently, one of them ended up getting killed last time. And he says, I hope it's Granger, he said, with relish.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoy that expression. He said, with relish.
Yeah.
Makes me just think. Yeah. He's got
bun in his hand. Yeah. Put a bit of salad cream.
Just holding a bottle of relish.
Yeah, he said, with relish.
Yeah.
I hope it's Granger next time, the new flavor from Heinz.
Yeah. they were talking about the ministry raids that have happened on Malfoy Manor.
Oh, yeah.
And Malfoy says, yeah, because my dad's got some really dark magic stuff, but they didn't find anything, luckily. We've got our own secret chamber under our drawing room floor.
Yeah.
Is that where they hold them all in book 7?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I'm wondering, because Ron tells his dad to do another check, I wonder if they found anything.
Yeah, I know, because Ron says, I'm going to write to my dad and tell him to check under the drawing room floor in Malfoy Manor.
That's fucking handy, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, they start returning back to themselves and they panic and run away. And then they go and leave the shoes outside the cupboard for Crabbe and Goyle, go back to the bathroom where Hermione, Myrtle's sort of gleefully laughing.
I totally forgot about that, because Hermione's been turned into a cat. Yeah, a thundercat. And because the hair she has wasn't one of Millicent Bulstrode's hairs, it was one of Millicent Bulstrode's cat's hairs.
Yeah.
And the potion's not meant to be used for like inhuman transformations.
Yeah, so it's all gone a bit wrong. She hasn't fully turned into a cat, but she's got a hairy face. And
yeah,
shit.
So they're like, oh, I'll just take you to the hospital wing.
Yeah,
and
Madame Pomfrey never asked too many questions. Which...
And Myrtle was like, oh, just wait till they see she has a tail.
Yeah.
I'm like, Myrtle, fuck off. That's why no one likes you in life or death.
Yeah, she's the worst person. But I do wonder if maybe Myrtle hadn't been, like, killed in the way she... Well, no, because people were teasing her about her spots. I feel like if she had been allowed to grow into adulthood, she might have become a more, like, tolerable person.
I doubt it. I reckon she would have been that same fucking sneaky bitch who sort of, her only joy comes from, like, sort of saying shit about other people, and then she goes home and she has no friends. She probably would have killed herself anyway, to be fair. That's comedy for you.
Yeah.
So, Well, thanks for tuning in to this very special episode.
Was it a very special episode?
For like every episode special.
Yeah. It's special for us in that it's the first one we've recorded since this podcast has been released out into the world and become a real thing.
Yeah, since we've subjected everyone to us.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for everyone for tuning in. Thank you for everyone who's liked and shared us on their various social media platforms. We appreciate all our listeners from all over the world.
Yeah, and emailed in and everything.
So yeah, keep on doing it and keep sharing it with your friends. Keep sharing it with everyone you know. Just recommend it. The best way to spread a podcast is through word of mouth, I feel, because a good recommendation from a good friend is a good thing.
Yes, spread it from your mouth to your friend's mouth.
Yeah. So yeah, find us on Instagram at poorlyreadpod, Twitter at the same, and email us poorlyread@gmail.com.
Cool.
So I've been Gifton.
I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.
Bye.